Hello and welcome to the Re-Evolve Media Revolution Podcast series finale, where we have interviewed over 50 Canadian underground hip-hop artists over the course of 4 years, listened to hundreds of their tracks, and talked about life in between the music. Passion, direction, motivation, and discipline are among the many things we have questioned in this series, and while there is still a lot of room for improvement, I have personally come to a better understanding of what it takes to be the man that I would like to be. My name is Jordan Lewis, and today's episode features my two current favorite artists, Junk and Isaac Zale. With some artists, you understand their vibe and where it comes from, their lyrics and where they come from, but with these two gentlemen, you can feel their music take you places. It's on a consistent basis, too. Every release somehow just hits, often from a different angle. Like they have tapped into another dimension and just pull and translate information. I believe that anything you practice, you will improve in, good or bad. Both Isaac Zale and Junk have put in the practice and exceeded mastery level in certain elements of their craft, and it's easy to acknowledge that when listening. They are great measures for other underground artists to understand where your mindset needs to be. A friend of mine recently said, "How can you be a musician if you don't make music?" That's a great question that I never really asked myself. I always considered my art between the podcast and music projects like my creations or my children. How could I argue that I am a good creator or father in that regard if I am not building or promoting what I have created? More importantly, how can I be more effective at it if I am not even building myself? Stagnation, contentment, distraction, doing everything except for what I say I am gonna do. Kind of makes you lose focus on who you are. I'm lucky to have these two reminders for our season finale. First up, we have Junk. What is up, everybody? I'm here with Junk, based out of Vancouver, Canada. Junk, how you doing, brother?
I'm great, bro. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Last time we chatted was about a year and a half ago. I think it was mid-COVID lockdown. So since then, you've been steady releasing music, as well as touring and performing, right?
Yes.
How's that been going? You toured Canada, and I think you hit Europe as well.
Yeah, I just did. We did 55 days in a row on the road. It literally drove from Victoria to Prince Edward Island, Charlottetown, back to Vancouver to a sold out hometown show, 2 days rest, and then boom, off to Europe with Snack. And then back, and then played a festival here in Kelowna. And then took the holidays. But not really holidays, just been working on material, writing, strategizing, rehearsals, new sets, all that stuff. Getting ready for the next season. Yep.
For sure. So is that like the status quo now, or is this kind of just like a buildup of material and energy just coming out of a couple of years of not being able to pull these off because of the lockdowns and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, all the music that I'm putting out now is not really from COVID. It's all from like the last 12 months. So I just been working a lot. We built studios in Vancouver, the back end recording. I was physically built that studio, laid the floors, painted, did trim work and all that stuff because I used to do that shit. So we built a studio and with some really amazingly talented human beings that are also like some of my best friends. So we have the luxury of just being in the studio and creating. You know, when your friends are some of the dopest producers in Vancouver and on the west side of Canada, actually all of Canada, let me edit that. It's really easy to just go in and make 3-4, you know, we go in for 10 hours and make 6, 7, 8 songs. And now I'm just sitting on so much material. I'm just getting it remastered and re-edited a bit and just dropping singles like every 2-3 weeks right now, just because I have so much material, so rich in material. And since I do this as a full-time job, it's like when I'm home, I write. So I always have so much material now because, you know, I don't go to a construction site and work for 10 hours a day and then I'm tired. I'll wake up 7, drink my coffee, write 2-3 songs, take some emails, take some calls, plan, strategize, hit the rehearsals, maybe go to the gym and work out and just take care of my mind and body. And that's pretty much what I do every day unless I'm on the road or in the studio myself. So,
hey, man, yeah. Man, that's what I like to hear. Where does the inspiration come from for writing so much content? Because I know a lot of other, that's what I'm hearing. But a lot of artists say that they get a lot of their content from like the struggles of life. So I feel like eventually that kind of caps out in terms of material for that area.
Absolutely. I mean, the struggles of life, all great art comes from, you know, you can't make great art unless you've been through something.
Whether you got to learn, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. But I've been through a lot and I've traveled a lot and I've seen a lot and I've been in different corners. I feel like I've traveled more than the average person. You know, my family being in different parts of the world, in Europe, in Italy, in Germany, speaking different languages, talking to different people in different languages, different perspectives, different cultures, traveling a lot myself and just being through a heck of a lot of trials and tribulations of just everything here myself. But also, so yeah, that's like, I feel like I'm a little more rich than others when it comes to just pulling and drawing from things. But also,
absolutely,
I've just tapped into a new way of discussing everyday things and just, I don't know, man, I can't even say anymore. I write differently now. I just let the music speak to me and it just comes out of me. I don't know what to say. It's just like, it's an innate ability. It's an innate ability that just comes out. I guess I'm blessed or whatever, but I feel like maybe my sobriety. I'm 1.5 years sober too. So last time I talked to you, I probably wasn't sober. So like, I think maybe that is, I just feel like I'm extra productive.
That's crazy, dude. So what inspired your wanting to get sober? Because maybe it was when we last chatted, because you were just in getting into poker when we had first talked. So I would imagine that you were sipping, playing poker around that time.
Nah, man, I play poker sober, bro.
Oh, easy. Okay. Sick. What inspired you to get sober?
Just having partied for probably... Having drank and you know, just drinking and partaking in other stupid stuff for two-thirds of my life. So I'm just over it. And now I just want to, like, enjoy my life. It just became too repetitive, obnoxious. Just, like, over-dealing with drunk people and stupid people. Same conversations, same apartment, same house, same outcome all the time. After 20 years of that, it's like, yo, time to change it up, so... this is absolutely where I'm at now, and I feel good. I'm in the gym every day, writing, working, being creative, and just using my brain. Getting high on just being creative is like my true drug now, you know? So, but I don't regret any of it because.
Okay.
I don't regret anything.
Say, couldn't have happened sooner and you wouldn't have been happier with it?
No, I'm happy with it now. I think everyone has their own inner clock and timing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And how's that affected? Because I know even performing and stuff, like the scenes and the venues where you perform at tend to be hyped by like alcohol and et cetera, right?
They're super hyped. It's super hyped.
Yeah. How's that changed your performances and stuff like that? Or how's that even changed your brand?
I think my performances are better. My brand is just me, you know? It's like,
yeah,
I'm a human being. People evolve. So, you know, one time I was at one point I was doing this, now I'm doing that. So it's like, if you can't understand that, then you're not really a fan of me or support me. So I'm just a human who I am what I am. I represent whatever I represent at the moment. So, but I know the sets are the better, they're higher energy. They're more on point, more compact, more concrete. I'm having more fun because I'm, you know what I mean? Like my brain is just working on a higher level. So
are you trying to get your fans and followers on that same tip?
I don't try to get anybody on any tip. I'm not a preacher. I just do me. And if people are inspired by what I do, then awesome. But I'm not out here saying, don't do drugs, don't drink. Cause that's like, that's the same thing as, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door and telling you what they think. It's like, I don't like that. Do whatever you want. Be a Muslim, be a Christian, be whatever you like to be. Just don't jam it down my throat. And that's the same thing with me. Like, yeah, I'm sober, but I'm not here trying to like convince the people of otherwise. If you want to have a conversation with me off to the side and talk about it and want some recommend, I get a lot of people hitting me up in my DMs daily. Yo, man, how did you do the sobriety thing? Blah, blah, blah. And if they're opening up the conversation, I'll definitely, obviously, you know, talk to them about it and give them some tips or whatever. But I'm not here like holding a torch fucking, hey, I'm the anti-party guy. Cause it's just like, I don't like extremists of any kind.
Yeah.
So why would I be, you know, I'm not trying to
push their will or whatever.
I even encourage people to drink at my shows. Yo, everybody grab your drink. Just be safe. Don't drink and drive. You know what I mean? Put your beers up. I got my water. It's all good. We can still celebrate, like, whatever. So, like,
yeah, absolutely. Okay, I hear you. It seems almost like a pretty popular trend recently, lately, though, people stepping away from kind of the party lifestyle.
I either popular trend or it's just like, it's an age thing, right? You're at a certain age where you're noticing people stepping away from it because a lot of people, it's a youthful thing. People get drunk and party when they're young, right? And it's like when people grow up and have kids and families, they can't really partake in that so much anymore. So is it really a sign of the times, or is it a trendy thing, or is it just everyone's getting older and our age group's getting older and those people are having families and whatnot, and you can't sustain a family if you're drunk and partying all the time? So it's really like, is it a trend, or is it just your age catching up to you and people are getting married and having kids now, and it's just a thing that comes hand in hand, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I've never really paid attention to it like that, but I think you're absolutely right.
Like, you can, you know, snack is sober, blah blah blah, it's like, but everyone's having families and getting, like, you can't be partying that hard if you're trying to get your life together. And that comes with age. You know what I mean? You're like, everyone parties hard in their 20s and their teens, like in their early 30s or whatever. And some people just, at that point, you got to get your shit together. And, you know, getting your shit together, I don't think partying is part of that. So.
For sure. And, but do you think that phase of partying is kind of necessary to get to that mature phase? Or do you think it's something that,
for me, it just was, everyone? I mean, I don't think it's necessary to, I don't know. I mean, it gives you a different perspective, right? So
I'm thinking like in terms of like getting it out while you're young, you know, not feeling like you missed that boat when you're a little bit older.
Yeah, it's probably good, but it's also like, I'm not knocking people that don't go down that path. You know, there's people that are 18 that are geniuses that play the piano and are musical geniuses that didn't need to do anything. All they did is study notes and how to write music and compose music, and here they are. You know what I mean? So, absolutely. I don't know. Again, everyone's on their different journey, man. Who am I to say what to do or how to do it? All I know is I did it like that. I partied hard. Now I don't, and I feel like I'm more clear, and my mental clarity is way more on point, and I'm enjoying the ride. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, absolutely. No, that's interesting, man. But one of the things I heard recently, it was a story about a guy writing a character. And I think he was doing it from the perspective of a god, but he's saying all the challenges and the trials and problems that he's gone through were meant to establish the character that he has become.
Sure. Of course. I mean, that's just like a writer. Writers love to talk to people that have been through a lot of things, or a lot of writers have interesting, and I'm talking like novelists, a lot of writers have interesting lives. Like, look at Ernest Hemingway, you know, in the World War, alcoholics, all that stuff. They draw from real experiences and trauma, obviously. The more experiences you get, whether traumatic or happy or whatnot, the more you're going to be able to draw from,
yeah,
create characters or tell a story from a perspective that is really real because you felt it.
Yeah, absolutely, because people can feel that level of genuineness from those stories. Where do you feel, as an artist currently, you should be involved with emerging technology?
Emerging technology, I mean, I feel like I'm pretty up on technology. Social media, obviously, is always growing. Platforms, every year or two, a new platform comes out that you got to use. Now we got, you know, NFTs and virtual reality and all that thing. So I dabble a bit, but I don't try to let it dictate how I make my art. So I just, again, it's art number one for me. A lot of the thing is, one big thing I notice is like, there's a difference. People think artists are content creators and vice versa. If you're a content creator, that doesn't make you an artist. That means you're a content creator. You know what I mean? Because artists, they do what they want. You know, they do what they want and they speak when they want. You need to push out this much content to be seen, blah, 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 which is like what is happening now. And that to me, no knock on content creators, but I find like content creators are literally partaking in destroying the artist, because now people don't take artists seriously if they're not on social media 24/7 posting content every day, right? And for an artist, it's like, how can you put an artist in a box and tell them to create every day? Like, that's not what art is about. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just becoming fast-paced, fast food kind of content. Fast food art is what I call it. You know what I mean? Okay. Content creators, it's fine. Content creation people don't see the difference between content creation and real art. And that's kind of a problem. So if you can navigate both waters, that's cool. Like, I'm on social media all the time. You know what I mean? I have a lot to say. I have a lot of content to make, but I don't make it out of the necessity of social media dictating that I need to make the content. I just do it because I have fun with it and I have so much of it and it's like easy, but I still drop whenever I want to drop. I don't need to do it every single day, maybe once a week or whatever. But it's a big problem for sure. Like, I find like reels and clips are becoming shorter and shorter. So how can you actually grasp your attention span? You know, how, of course, the 45-minute album isn't going to be digested as much as a 7-second clip. Why? Because everybody's just scrolling, yeah, looking for the next fix of digital dopamine that doesn't, you know what I mean? Everyone's just looking to get high on that scroll for some kind of like, oh, that's fun. Look at this cat. Look at this. Look at that. So, but in the meanwhile, we're creating a whole culture of unappreciative people that don't understand what art is. And that's why people are making shorter songs, shorter albums, shorter everything. You know what I mean? And it's just that from an artist, I can see that. And it's impacting the way artists make art. It's actually killing artists, because artists now, when they're new, what are they thinking of? Are they thinking of the art, or are they thinking of being seen and heard and getting the numbers? So if you're thinking of being seeing and getting the numbers, you're going to think of the content and creating over the actual content that you should be making, which is the art. It's a fine line of distinction, but I can definitely notice it, because young people, they're just doing dumb shit on the internet. And not all, there's some amazing new artists, there's great artists, but I'm just saying, for the most part, if you want to get traction and viewership and all that stuff, you're going to do some fast-paced stuff and you have to outdo yourself every time, which you'll just, you'll never focus on the art that way if you're just focused on putting out mass amounts of content. Yeah, you don't even burn out. You don't even start your journey of being a real artist. Yeah. It's not about burning out. It's like you don't even make the art that you thought you could never make because you're too focused on smashing an egg on your head to get a million views over some while you're doing a dance. You know what I mean? Which is just like, it is what it is. And people just want that fast-paced stuff because it's mindless and they don't need to think about it, and that's what it is.
Taking a quick break, we are going to listen to a track by Junk. This one is titled Double H. Enjoy.
What's the 2 H's stand for? Yeah, that's household. Dope like a couple bricks of H, that's some brownstones. Every year, whole click reaching milestones while we stay ringing in your ear like a dial tone. This a friendly reminder that ain't nobody fucking with me, bitch. My pen been on fire. My next shit with Messiah about to get you retired. Wait, scratch that's about to get you inspired. Leaving our mark in the streets like it was treads from a tire. I or Evan and Flint, they treat the records like choirs. Angelic. Pull up to the front in a pandemic, cop the new drop, or head to the back for the rap session, that's blessing. Who's the bebop? That's Evans, but I'm working with many people, true dad is a whack question. Bring different crews together, yeah, I bridge gaps, that's how I'm in this shit forever, that's the impact. Heavy like the leakiest faucets. Resume too long to list the things I accomplished, but let's give it a shot. Battles I was winning a lot, and thanks to Gannick I'm at hungry at the king of the dot. It's iconic what we did to that block. Flipped the script on them, linked up, made a click, clicked up. 10 years later still riding, never switched up. That's that shit, bruh, never change on day ones. See me in the club, you know I throw my double H up. Chain swinging out the hoodie with the name Junk. Do it my way, gatekeepers here are lame fucks. Dev shooting everything, you can't erase us. Documenting every single move is how we stay up. New merch, everything custom, designed by Neff. About to be a problem, iconic, just like the Nike check. Just let's grind, bitch.
Double H, baby, you know the fucking vibe.
what it is. And people just want that fast-paced stuff because it's mindless and they don't need to think about it. And that's what it is. Anyways,
for sure.
I've blabbered enough.
Absolutely, bro. But I think that that also depends on what your definition of success out of this career or hobby or passion really is, right? Because a lot of people cannot, let's say, fund or continue being motivated to create actual genuine art because, like you said, they got to be doing something else on the sidelines to pay the bills and stuff like that. You know
what
I mean?
Of course, of course.
So it almost seems like taking that the fast food route and just trying to pop off of like a 15-second TikTok or something like that. Almost, I don't know. It's almost like buying a lottery ticket each time, but not really investing in yourself. You know what I mean? You're just hoping it hits.
Yeah, and I mean the possibilities of you hitting that is just like winning the lottery, very low. And then in the meanwhile, you're chasing winning this lottery ticket, and in the meanwhile, you haven't developed your own craftsmanship or anything. The thing is, people are just like popping off that don't have anything to offer. That's the thing. You know what I mean? The artists are the quiet types that sit there and they don't even like being on the internet because they're just too busy like working on the art. And then these people, a lot of people just blowing up over just some stupid shit, duet challenges or whatever. Like, I'm not even knocking anybody that's doing that, but it's more like a societal issue. You know what I mean? It's like fast paced, everything. Just like movies too. Where's the good movies at? It's all like, it's 10 good movies come out versus 10,000 shitty movies every year. It's Marvel this, Marvel that, CGI, the acting is bad, the dialogue is bad, the writing is bad. Everything is just mad watered down because we just want big, mindless explosions, big, big, big. Everything is big, everything is perfect, blah, blah, blah. Everything is just so molded to a formula that art can't breathe in this type of environment.
Absolutely. But and that's the thing as well, though, is it's creating a problem, but it also already seems to be the problem because there's such a huge demographic for that kind of material. Like, that's kind of mindless and not really inspired. You know what I mean? There's a huge demographic. In fact, it almost seems as though, I don't know. What do you think should be the goal for an artist to be successful? Like, is it just creating meaningful art over and over, being able to reach an audience, being at a level of financial success? Or what do you think like new emerging artists should kind of lean towards these days?
Man, I don't know. I honestly, how are you supposed to answer that question?
Yeah, no, I feel you, bro. It almost seems as though everybody's trying everything other than actually
focusing on the art. Yeah, trying is cool, bro. Like, I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm on all that shit. Trying is great, you know what I mean? But, like, I don't know, it's just hard to keep your integrity when you're forced to conform to, you know, the times, all the time. It's just like, it's...
people following trends.
Yeah, I mean, to me, everyone has their own definition of success. To me, success is pay my bills, be happy, you know, and not in that order. It's more so be happy, pay my bills off absolutely. The art that I make. You know what I mean? Like, which I do.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Making art makes me happy. My art, the way that I do it, the way that I have it set up all independently, I've been doing this 20 plus years. I pay my bills, I pay my rent, and I'm happy and I, you know, can go travel if I want. I'm not rich at all, but like, I feel rich inside from being able to make the art that I want. No one dictates what I do. So it's like, to me, the definition of being successful off art is just make meaningful art that makes you happy, you know, and if it inspires others, great. And in the meanwhile, if you can keep your integrity and peddle your art as a business, then, and you can pay for your rent and your lights on in your house and you can eat off it. I mean, what more do you want? You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty successful to me. Like, that's, and that you're in, like, now you're floating in the 1% space. Like, do the statistics. Like, there's, I think 1% of musicians make a true living off their art for over like 5 years or some shit like that. So, you know what I mean?
Oh, man. And yeah, and that number's getting tighter and tighter. And then the money that's even coming into those areas is getting less and less, it seems like, at least from my perspective.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is, it's content creators, right? That's the thing. YouTube people and content creators, like, those aren't artists. People think, oh, it's like, that's just a different lane. It's a complete, and I don't even knock it. But the thing is, it's artists around. The artists are competing with content creators, meanwhile watering down their own art because they're competing with people that don't care about art. They're competing with people that care about views. And so it's a very finicky, tricky situation. You know what I mean? Because it's not so distinguishable. So you literally got artists competing with people that make an entire career off just getting views. They don't care about the art, which is fine. If you don't care about art, I'm not telling you to. Like, if you're not an artist, you're not an artist. That's totally, go get your bag. The thing is, I love art. If I wanted to make more money, I wouldn't be doing what I do. I would be selling real estate. You know what I mean? But it's not all about the money for me. So.
Absolutely. Well, from what I've heard as well, a lot of people enter into this this career with the intentions of blowing up and getting rich pretty quick.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because online, all you see is the successful elements of everybody right away. So you're drawn to the chains and the cars and the whatever, the success. But it's like everyone's just posting their highlights all the time. So it's like, of course, what you digest, what you take in is that is the end goal. But it's like, that's not the end goal at all. And half of these people that flex all this shit online, they're not even happy anyway. It's like, happiness is key to me.
Well, let's talk about that for a sec, the flexing and the illusory reaching of goals, or let's say like how people will rent cars or have videos in Airbnbs flexing as though that they've reached some level of success or status that they are more portraying than actually living at.
Yeah, we're just living in a time, like, to me, hip hop is a lifestyle. You know what I mean? I live a lifestyle. It's an artistic lifestyle of expression, freedom of expression. And that's what I like. And I'm drawn to that. Then rap music is just, it's just marketing. It's a huge marketing thing. So the business model is great. It works. Look at it. It's been working forever, but people flexing this, that, it's because they're marketing. It's all marketing. It's literally marketing. That's all it is.
Interesting.
It's rap music is literally just another, it's almost synonymous with marketing. You know what I mean? You're marketing every possible luxury brand, this, that, just marketing yourself as success with money, this and that. Like, it's just, that's not interesting to me. It's never been interesting to me, you know, like that's why I don't talk about that. Cause it's just not interesting. Like, absolutely. I don't care about that. Which is fine. And if people care about that, that's great. That's cool with them. But rap music has just been literally just a giant corporate marketing whore. And I'm like, not there for it. I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think that's overall or just in mainstream or where do you think that's coming from?
Well, mainstream, of course, but
yeah.
And not all the mainstream, you know, that's why I just like, there isn't many artists that I really like. Even people that are not mainstream, they try to rap about that shit because they think that's the way they'll get successful. You know what I mean? And one out of every 100,000 rappers will become successful, sign a deal, which is not even probably a 360 deal where everything they have is not even theirs. They're just too dumb to see it. You know what I mean? Everything is clocked. At the end of the deal, they get screwed and they end up going broke and claiming bankruptcy or whatnot. So it's like,
word.
It's all just a giant illusion, and it's just much deeper than that. It's about giant corporations, you know, controlling these labels and of course they're putting money in young kids' hands that are promoting violence, luxury brands, luxury lifestyles. You know why? Because those luxury brands line the pockets of the same people that control the labels because they're in cahoots with Mercedes, they're in cahoots with Tiffany's. They've got stake in all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then when people are promoting violence and killing people and whatnot, guess what? They're also in cahoots with the people that own the prison systems. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the industrial complex of the penitentiary. So it's like, put people in prison, cha-ching. You know what I mean? It's all privatized in the States. Of course, they want people in jail because they're making money off that. And then, you know, talking about jewelry, diamonds, this, that. It lines the pockets of their friends if it doesn't line theirs. And that's just it. And that's what big business is. Rap music is a huge business. And it's like, Absolutely. That's why it's just become marketing and formulaic.
Interesting. So almost in a sense, the main sphere of the industry is based on corruption.
It's, well, I don't know about corruption. It's about, well, I guess so. And yeah, for sure. There's definitely corruption in all elements of power. I mean, power breeds corruption, obviously. You know, I don't remember what the exact quote is, but that's just a fact. But the fact is, there's a, why do you think 90% of the rap music out there is, you know, that's like popular? It's, it literally sounds the same, looks the same. I can't differentiate one rapper to the next. You know what I mean? Just like, it's, they all sound the same. They look the same. They talk the exact same shit. They even sound exactly the same on the mic. Talking about killing people, how many bitches they fuck, how much fucking bricks of cocaine they're moving, how many people they've shot, how many guns they got, how many Bentleys, how many Ghost Phantoms they got. Who, like, you know what I mean? And then you got a whole generation of kids listening to this shit, looking up to them because they see the success, but really that success is mad damaging to an entire group of young people that are just going to end up going to jail trying to achieve this type of success, aka killing people, moving bricks, trying to get the money because they want to be like their favorite rappers. So it's like, it's a very, it's very scary. It's very scary because young people don't understand that, which is fine. And they're not supposed to understand that, especially when they got a $1 billion industry jamming this shit down their throats every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Religiously down their throats too, right? And with their favorite artists, man.
Exactly. And that's but it's even crazier to me. People like Lil Baby and Future, which I like their music. That's the thing. But these people, you know, they're talking about Cody, Lean, Poppin' Mollies and Perks and all this shit. But guess what? These guys don't do that shit, bro.
No,
it looks like they do that shit. You can't function at that level of successful. Of that level of success that these guys have, like Future, you can't be functioning drinking 10 cups of Lean every day. These guys are sober as fuck. These guys are in the gym.
Like that, yeah.
These guys are in the gym, working out, drinking water, being healthy. You know what I mean? In the studio all day cooking. And the thing is, the music, and that's even the scarier part for me, because they're pushing an image and an agenda that isn't even theirs just to fulfill their contract obligations, basically. It all boils down to just being absolutely controlled by bigger agendas at play. But anyway,
absolutely. So do you think that they feel like trapped in these contracts or whatever, or do you think that they have some level of like moral guilt pushing a persona?
How can I answer how someone feels? That you'd have to ask
absolutely.
You'd have to ask them that. You know what I mean? For sure. All I know is, when you come from nothing and you got 20, 30 million sitting in the bank and you're netting 5 to 10 million every year off music that you make, whether it's detrimental to people or not, you're thinking about your own family in that time. I mean, at this point, you can say the same thing for an athlete. Yo, the athlete, you're making 50 million a year. You're wearing shoes made by kids in fucking sweatshops. You're pushing the product, but you're making money. But there's kids over there being enslaved because of the brand that you're pushing on the court every day. So at this point, it's like everything can be tied back into, you know, it's like, is it morally right? Most of the things in this world aren't, sadly, because everything is controlled by corporations. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's such a cliche word. Oh, big corporations. But it's true.
It's the truth. Yeah.
They've just infiltrated every aspect of life. And that's just what it is now. So like, pick the lesser of the two evils and just move forward. And if you got to take care of your family, shit, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, we live in a world where it's like, get yours or get out. And it's just, I can't even blame anybody. Fuck, someone dangled 20 million in front of my face, I'd probably take it and just be like, yo, you got to like rap like this. You know what I mean? 20 million to take care of me and my family in the next 3-4 generations of, and then some, I'd probably say yes too. You know what I mean? Here I am dissing the shit. But I'll probably be a hypocrite too when you have that kind of money. You know what I mean? So,
well, because at the stage that we're at, or at this point in the timeline, is you almost do have to sell yourself to reach at that tier of operation, right?
Yeah.
Because even there's so much controversy with like the award shows and like invites and how people get nominated and even get awards, like things like that. You know what I mean? It's all political at that point as well.
Not for sure. I could talk about this for 500 years, bro. It's,
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about something that new emerging technology is coming out as well. Yeah, are you familiar with a lot of the AI stuff that's going on in the creative sphere?
Yeah, I don't like it.
You don't like it? What's your aversion?
Well, AI is just whack, in my opinion. Like, why AI? There's 8 billion people on the earth. You need to get everything made for you by a computer. That's taking the artistry, that's taking the humanity out of art to me. Like, I don't fuck with the AI shit, bro. I don't want a cover made by AI. I don't want a robot to dictate a music video for me. I don't want... Technology's great, but AI, artificial intelligence, telling me how to do art, art is human. Human, you know what I mean? That's like... That's cool if you want robots to make art, but I'm not trying to fuck with that. I'm trying to keep
something different then, eh?
Yeah, it's something totally different. So go ahead, fucking let Terminator make his fucking, make his renditions of art. But like, to me, art comes from the heart, and robots don't have that. So I ain't fucking with the AI covers, with the videos. I ain't fucking with any of that shit. So I'm good on it.
For sure. What about the bottom line though? Like when it comes to like operating as a business. So let's say for example, like you're getting a cover art done by somebody, but then you've also got a simultaneous AI cover art being created that's done in a fraction of the time, and that you almost can't tell that it was done by AI.
Yeah, but that's just the problem. Fraction. Everyone's looking for the cheaper, better, quicker option. That's just like, that's a societal version problem. I don't give a fuck about that. Dope art takes time. If it takes time, it takes time. People need to learn how to be patient. That's the thing. No one's patient. Everyone wants instant everything. Instant food, instant art, instant hits, instant money. It's like, yo, that's a problem with the society that we live in, bro. Not everything has to be instant. Look at wine.
For sure.
You motherfuckers like wine? Fine wine, bro. It's that shit's aged, bro. Let that shit fucking grow and develop. And not everything needs to be instant. That's the problem we're having.
Ben, ain't that the truth? But don't you think that the world is slowly going in that direction, almost to the point where the other side, that the taking the time and the effort, is going to be almost obsolete at some point?
Well, if it's obsolete, then bury me with it, bro. I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Oh, dude, I feel you.
That is definitely what we're working towards. That's why you need people to have these discussions. And like, I know people that agree with what I'm saying here. You know what I mean? So it's like, ask any true fucking artist, they'll all give you the same answer I'm just giving you right now. Like, it's just what it is, man. It's a hand in face type of moment. It's like, it's not.
For sure.
Art comes from the heart. It takes time. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes not. That's just like life. You know what I mean? Sometimes good things happen really quick. Sometimes it takes forever. So it's like, people just need to be okay with that shit.
But I think, for lack of better terms, I would say that capitalism wants it like yesterday, you know?
Of course.
It's as much money as quick as possible with as little input or effort.
Of course. It's all about bottom dollar. That's all it is. So.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, if I was making music to make money, if it was about money, I wouldn't have chose this career path. I'd be selling life insurance selling you apartments in the Florida Keys, you know what I mean? Or in Vancouver, I'd be selling you homes, but it's not about that for me. You know what I mean? Like, and again, I've done other jobs, always miserable at them. I've done many jobs. You know what I mean? Music is what makes me happy. So when I'm happy, I can function at a level where, who doesn't want to be happy? Like, you know what I mean? I'd trade $100 million. I'd take $5 million over $100 million if it guaranteed me happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not just, but that's just me. Again, I can't speak for everyone else, but I just don't come from that kind of school. I was raised that way.
For
I just want to be happy, make sure my people are good, and that's it.
Well, I think one of the main things I'm taking from it is, well, especially for other emerging artists as well, is to realize exactly why you're in it and what you're in it for. And what it means to you.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's very easy to pick up a mic, to start writing stuff down, and now even quicker and easier to finalize a product and get it out there.
Yeah.
But to actually create something that you yourself are like proud of and happy with, and that you think is going to resonate with other people, or even resonate with yourself down the line, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, what a trippy world, man. Well, what's coming up for you this year? 2023, big year for yourself with the plans and stuff, or what do we got going on?
Health.
I want help. I'm eating an apple. Can you hear it? Is it really loud?
Nah, you're good, dude.
Okay, word.
Happiness and health.
That's it, eh? You've got like one foot in front of the other, and you know that the goal is more or less kind of what it's always been then.
Happiness and health. Everything else follows suit. Happiness is art creation, which I do. It's almost redundant to say, oh, I'll be releasing this. Of course, I got two albums ready to come out, singles, videos, photography, videography. But that's just part of my nature now at this point. So those things make me happy. Yeah. And those things make me want to stay healthy so I can execute them better. So happiness and health is what I'm looking to push this year. And of course, gosh, I got huge actual projects, you know, with accolades tied to them, and they're going to make some noise and whatnot. But yeah, what I'm really looking forward in 2023 is happiness and health.
Absolutely. Okay. I feel you on that, brother. And we are running into overtime here. Is there anything that you want to say on the sign off?
Stream my music.
Hell yeah.
Stream my music and be on the lookout for albums. I got two dropping this year. My best music by a long shot. It's my favorite. I mean, best is subjective, but my favorite music that I've made of mine. It's all coming. New single out now, Double H. I'm going to push the new clothing line this year, the household brand. New music, new tours, new everything. It's a new and improved me. Every year I'm trying to step it up. But I'm really, really, really excited to drop this music this year because it's my favorite that I've ever made out of my entire catalog. My catalog is big, so.
Sweet, dope, man. I'm looking forward to it all. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, brother. Thank you so much for joining me today. Junk, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Likewise. All right. You take care, man.
One love.
Peace out.
Peace, brother.
Before we move on to Isaac Zale, we are going to listen to another track by Junk. This one is titled Ghost. Enjoy.
But I don't hustle no grams. I'm at Chopinos eating plates of mussels and clams in Yale Town, watching women clutch a luxury bag. Who won't look at you unless you push a BMW, man. And if you take them out for dinner, it's a couple of the bands. Why they got their buttery hands inside a bucket of crab? They really got the nerve to ask you like what's in the glass. And you're like the vino from Tuscany, the bubbly from France. That's the dumbest habit, like the money challenge. Man, I bloody had it. You know who makes this acceptable? It's fucking rappers. It's like a car with two gear shifts. It's a double standard. That ain't it, that ain't lit. Who came and struck the matches? They wanna wine and dine bitches, then complain about it. I think they trippin', they should zip it or write Drake an album. This shit is crazier than patience in insane asylums. Crazy as vaccinations taken in the name of science. I'm double vaxxed though, screaming fuck a mask though, being a fucking asshole. Let's not get too political, but how can I not be in a monopoly? Bitch, I'm cynical, where everybody's watching and copies. I mean it literal. Got bands up they arms like the Nazis did with the generals. Squids inking deals is harmless like they got tentacles. Little squids, little dirty fucking squids. Fuck out. I've been feeling like a ghost, and I've been haunting you the most. Come to the party, you're the host, flying the wind right off the coast. And I've been feeling like a ghost, and I've been haunting you the most. Come to the party, you're the host, flying the wind right off the coast, coast, coast. Rolling Dolo in this world, I do the solo dance. Cause the world is sick, I'm a Ralph on them like the Polo brand. Cold shoulder to the locals, I got global plans. Do this independent so nobody gon' control your bad. You need to know the math, or the shit will slap you in the face just like an open hand. And that's played like the link on your IG to OnlyFans. I've been about it since was smoking grams, since it was poking holes in them soda cans. Rolling hash with tobacco like it's the Netherlands. It's all we ever did to eat natural, and we took sedatives. Try to escape back then like I'm escaping now. Cause the game is foul and I hate these clowns that are lame and loud. Fuck it, game I'm soaking up like I'm a paper towel. High level rap make fuck would it make for the bank account? You don't like my music, you mean that you ain't smart enough. I'm making legal lettuce, see me eating with the gardeners. Spar with us, escape slavery like we Spartacus. I've done the 9 to 5, it's too arduous, smooth like margarine now. My dream's never been to carve in a house. It's a little niche that I'm sculpting and I'm carving it out.
Flying the wind right off the coast.
We hope you enjoyed that interview and music by Junk. We're going to jump right into the interview with Isaac Zale. Here we go.
What is up, everybody? I'm here with Isaac Zale from Vancouver, BC. What's going on, brother?
How you doing? I'm great, bro.
Good to hear from you. Good chatting with you again.
Likewise.
First and foremost, mad respect for the No Label, No Budget series. Yeah, kudos.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. It's a work in progress, but I'm happy to see people are resonating with it.
It was volume one that you released a week or so ago. I think it was less than a week ago, actually, right?
It was. Yeah, it was last Thursday.
Last Thursday. Okay. Yeah. And volume one is just you compiling the work that you've done over the last few weeks, right?
Yeah, pretty much. All it is just every Friday on YouTube, I will make a song and music video. And then at the end of every month, I'll package like 5 episodes into a season and then throw those onto Spotify and streaming services.
That's dope, man. That's dope. So looking back at the project, like, what do you think? Volume one so far, I guess, because you're still in the middle of it.
I'm definitely happy with like the first season. I'm working on the second one right now.
Okay.
But every time I look back at something I made, I always purposely try and be cognizant of the fact that there's always things I can do better. So that's kind of the way I approach pretty much anything that I release.
That's fair enough. Do you feel like you're being too critical sometimes though? Because like from my perspective, it looks like, dude, you can't miss. I think you're killing it.
Thank you, bro.
I thought you'd see it the same way because I don't know. You've been putting a lot of work and effort and it shows.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely happy with the product, but
yeah,
it's just more of a mental thing. Like I never want to let myself get to a point where I listen to something I made and think, oh, this is my magnum opus. Cause then I'm not going to ever make something better.
For sure. But you got to give it, some max level of respect.
Yeah, like, always gratitude. Even if like a few years later I listen back to a song and I realize that it sucks, like objectively pretty shit,
yeah,
I'll still be like appreciative of the fact that I made it.
Yeah, it's one of your creations, right? It's like one of your babies.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so speaking of like one of your babies though, is there any from the No Label, No Budget Volume 1 that is particularly your favorite?
It seems that Asbestos Freestyle is doing pretty well. Got added to a couple of Spotify playlists, but
oh, sick. Okay,
I would say my favorite is Walls, the singing
Walls
one. Yeah,
okay, that's dope, man. And when you come up with these ideas, or let's put it this way, what is the most creative element that you have found piece by piece for each track that you've had to provide in terms of like it's like purely creative, like you have to think about it? And I honestly don't even know how to describe creativity right now, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, like I do like the production, the mixing, the mastering, the writing, and everything really. So
the music videos.
Yeah,
the editing of those videos.
Yeah. So for me, it's not like there's not like a specific portion that's more or less creative.
Yeah.
I just kind of see every song as like an entity, and then every little like sub compartment of work, like the mixing, the producing, and everything like that, as just like a vessel to bring the piece to life. And I don't really give more or less credence to a certain aspect. I just kind of...
So would you say... Okay, I hear you. But isn't some of it considered like more of a technical side?
Yeah, mixing and mastering is almost purely technical. There is definitely art in that though.
Yeah.
But things like, you know, like compression and thresholds and ratio, like obviously it's a little bit mathematical, but there's still ways to do that artistically. And there's no set rules when you're mixing and mastering. I know a lot of people will say like there's certain things that you just don't do, and I would agree with them for the most part. But some things, I would say a lot of things are pretty malleable when it comes to engineering. And the best way to learn what works and what doesn't work for your specific voice and your specific style of music is just trial and error.
Absolutely. And is that how you came across that? Like I've seen it in a couple of the tracks at the end of the bar, you like do a little bit crush or something, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit crusher, eh?
Yeah, dude, it's not honestly...
Your audio
effects.
Sounds
awesome. Absolutely, yeah.
Thanks,
man. It sounds dope. I love the way you do it too, because it's like it's nostalgic and it hits that way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I really love Big Crushers.
Dope.
Probably
yeah.
One of my favorite.
Absolutely, and I guess could it be said that that might be one of like the taboo things in terms of mixing and mastering, where it's like some people say don't go too far on this, or
yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes I feel like Big Crusher is mainly like an artistic choice, but
yeah,
I would say it's a little bit unorthodox because I haven't really heard it ever. A top 40 song that had a Big Crusher in it that's like noticeable.
Absolutely. But yours is noticeable, but it's not like, I think you do it like maybe max 3 or 4 times in a track.
Yeah, I'll usually use the Big Crusher to like highlight certain things.
from what I'm hearing, is you see creating the entire track top to bottom as a creative process?
Exactly, yeah. Every single part, everything that goes into it is no more or no less important.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The reason I ask that is because, like, well, what is your creative process, I guess? Like, how do you come up with the way that you're going to do things? Do you just kind of like, is it just one foot in front of the other and you're just like, whatever idea you think of, you just move forward with? Or do you play separate ideas?
A lot of it is, it's just showing up, right? So like every morning I'll wake up and I'll start making like a beat, like a loop, an 8-bar loop every morning. And every a lot morning. Of it is also like automatism, just kind of letting my body and my brain make the music without offering too much rationale into the process, and just seeing what happens, seeing what I come up with kind of like subconsciously.
For sure. Okay. I hear. And not getting in your own way.
Yeah, exactly.
In a sense. Yeah. How did you realize that this was like a mode for you, or even a possible mode?
The creative process?
Like, I guess what, like you said, it starts with showing up and then you just kind of keep going with whatever ideas are in front of you.
A lot of it has to do with actually being happy and enjoying. Well, not necessarily being happy, but feeling an emotional connection with what you're making, and being miserable while you're making it. Like not looking at the clock and being like, okay, one more hour and then I can leave the studio, because that's always going to result in something bad. So as long as you're there and you're actually enjoying what you're doing and you're having fun, then I feel like, you know, that is kind of like automatism to a point, because your body is just
automatism,
taking
yeah.
over, and your brain is not, it's not focusing on, oh, how long do I have to be here before I can leave? Because then at that point, why are you even making music? Like if you don't even want to be doing it.
Absolutely. So do you think on the counter side that you should want to be there like 24/7?
Oh, dude, you have to. Like, I think yeah. like anything you want to be successful in, if you want to like write books or film or whatever, like if you don't want to be there like nonstop, like if you're not dreaming about waking up and then doing it, then it might not be the thing that's like destined for you.
Yeah.
You know, like someone's going to want that more.
So what would you say to someone if they feel as though that they've found that, but they also feel as though like other aspects of life take them away from it too much, and they owe other aspects of life like...
Oh, like work and stuff.
Maybe not even necessarily work, but like just like... I feel like people cut out a time for like relaxing, you know what it means? And it's not a specific thing, but it's just like I need to make sure that I relax X amount of time per day, per week, whatever. And it's just like, it's kind of just...
Well, I mean, personally, like allowing inspiration to build is one of the creative processes that go into making music.
Okay.
And the best way that I find myself able to just allow inspiration to come and just knock on the door, I have to actually be like doing things that are taking care of myself, like relaxing, going for walks, exercising. If I don't do those things, then I'm missing out on an entirely equally as important process when it comes to making music, which is allowing inspiration to come into my life.
Absolutely. Would you say it's the same way that you create your tracks is just going with a natural flow? Is that how you spend your time otherwise? Or do you have like specific things that you do in a specific order?
I have a schedule. Like,
okay.
I'm not very like, you know, like ebb and flow with it. I'm more so stick to my schedule. And just understand what I do. And when I show up and I just bring my body to the location that it needs to be, subconsciously, my brain will take over and, you know, just do what I have to do.
Inspiration, yeah. And then inspiration will like, appear.
Inspiration for me comes a lot from other forms of art. Like,
absolutely,
I read a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I read a lot of books.
Yeah.
So before bed, like, I'll read for a few hours. And during that period is when I feel really inspired. And then I'll take pictures of pages and books and like certain sentences.
Nice.
And
Dope. Okay. And do you actually reference like all the things that you mean to in the future?
I try not to reference books like directly by the title. I have.
Absolutely.
I definitely have.
Yeah.
Certain like ideas within the books, within like other art forms, like I will maybe expand upon like, you know, like Slaughterhouse-Five, you ever read that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I've definitely done some things like I've definitely like drawn inspiration from that and like
what
talked about
it?
Like the it's like an anti-war novel, but the protagonist is able to like time travel and see his whole life not linearly but as one. It's like a testament
to
time.
That's so trippy. Yeah. Okay, do you ever find that when you stumble across these ideas, sorry, Sorry, the reason I'm just going to interject there because I actually, the episode intro that I have written for the next episode that's coming out is exactly what you just said.
What do you mean?
Like, I start with, if you could see your, or one of the phrases here, actually, let me just pull it up. Give me a sec.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry, he's seeing the war, but from the perspective of his life as a whole.
He's done the war, like he was a POW during the Dresden bombings.
Yeah.
And he gets out, which is really rare because everybody in Dresden died. But he survived, and the actual author did, this is based on the actual author, he did that.
Oh shit, yeah.
And when he gets back, he's like abducted by aliens, and then he's able to learn from them and the way that they experience time, which is not chronologically, it's not linear, it's their entire life at once, so they can it's a testament to how time is somewhat of an illusion, like a construct.
It's really what we're trapped in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's like a really postmodernist, anti-war, kind of funny book.
Interesting. Okay. I pulled up my. This is going to be the intro for the next episode, which is coming out. It's either today or tomorrow.
Okay.
It goes. I always like to reference the idea that if we could see our lives from start to finish, we might be able to understand the significance of each moment. How things line up perfectly or fall apart in ways that just make sense in the grand scheme. But however, as simple mortals, we only have the ability to reference the past and speculate on the future.
Bro, read Slaughterhouse-5. Read it.
Apparently, seriously. I have to, yeah.
Yeah, dude, they got like the aliens in there. They're called like Tralfamadorians, and they do exactly what you just said.
That's trippy, dude. Yeah. How old is this book? Is it that popular that you can reference it and expect me to actually? Yeah. Yeah?
It's, okay, dope. I think it's noted as one of like the most famous American anti-war books.
Interesting. When did you read this?
Oof. I read it a few times. I just read through not too long ago. Yeah, it's one of my favorite books for sure.
It's that good. Dude, I've never reread a book, and I don't know if that's a me problem or a my upbringing problem. Yeah, yeah.
I'll read, like, if I forget, like, a few, like, months or a year later, and I have nothing better to do, because I can read through a book in, like, a day or two.
Okay, sick. Are you just, like, a fast reader, or...?
I just read a lot, so like it's like a muscle, like you just kind of get quicker at it.
Okay, I hear you. So just referencing what just happened, where you referenced a book and I was like, dude, it's like, that's such a huge coincidence. Do you find that when you read at night and you catch those snippets of whatever that you are inspired by, that it seems to be kind of like a synchronicity like that? Like it's very coincidental how it like, how it inspires you?
I don't think anything is really much of an accident or a coincidence. I think it's... You know, I mean, at least the way I look at it, the way I would like to look at it, regardless if this is like foolish or not, but I would like to think that things aren't coincidences and they're more so signs.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I hear that as well. And do you think that those signs help you remain, or what would you call it, this ability for you to actually like be happy, be content and do what you do and like not be obstructed by like anything essentially? Or have you been obstructed by anything? I know that you had like a family thing last week. Did that disturb your creative flow? Or
I definitely took the week off. I was a bit of a mess, but
yeah, absolutely.
What was the question again? It was I'm trying to remember it.
I'm trying to get to how you stay in. It's something that I've heard of referred to as a flow state.
Yeah.
It's where you're more or less like unimpeded by anything else except for what you're focused on.
I think the best way to go about that is just to understand that every moment it just is, right? There's no why as to why it happened. It just is. It's destined.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's one way you can look at it.
And so just like march forward, keep your head up, and why not smile?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, it's one of those things that if you start overthinking it and you start putting like limitations upon yourself and obstructing your own way, then you're going to find yourself in a situation where you feel obstructed. But if you understand that, especially when it comes to art, like it's up to you. Like you just, if you have the time to show up to a studio, like I'm fortunate because I don't have to do like a 9-to-5 or anything.
Yeah.
But even when I did, I would just make sure that I delegated some time to be in the studio and just show up. And once I showed up, I would just learn trial and error, just learn to stop obstructing myself.
For sure. What about the distractions of the world?
You got to learn how to shut that off. That's even for like music aside, art aside, like for your own mental health, if you're not able to shut those things off occasionally, it's going to be hard. Like for me, I'm an empath, so I feel really bad when shit happens.
Yeah, but same here.
If I can't like, if I can't shut that off before I go to sleep or like when I'm trying to calm down, then the only person I'm hurting at that point is myself.
Taking a quick break, we are going to listen to a track by Isaac Zale. This one is titled Ribs. Enjoy.
Self-preserve when I'm self-sufficient. Digi dashboard when I smash the digits. Balaclava when I'm high, I'm livid. I can see it all clear when the tones are vivid. Watch your tone and tone down your presence. Not Christmassy, but when I rap, it's presence. If I want some head, that mean I want beheading. Now I understand why you hold it against me. 14 hallmarks, label got 12. When I pull up with the I can hit him with the L. I don't wanna spend all my days in a cell. I don't wanna dance on the blaze of the devil. Why would I bring a kid into a world of this? The world leans too far to imperialists. How many times do I count what a myriad is? The mirror got too filth and I'm scrubbing hard. The men spreading more hate, say they close to God. The Fresh and the Tate and the Tucker Carlson say they care about the people but they oligarchs. Shoot the shots and ask questions later. Numb your body with the 30 gram percolator. I've been set to stone, I felt tense betrayal. And let us shop at Rodale. We got the world collapsing, but our juices got kale. Where's all the bread in the world if it is already stale?
I can't shut that off before I go to sleep or like when I'm trying to calm down, then the only person I'm hurting at that point is myself.
Absolutely, man. Well,
so it's a skill.
It's absolutely a skill, and it takes it, we don't realize it's a skill until we've come a certain way in acquiring it, I feel. So I feel like it's always something that's good to mention and let people know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, and you know, it's good to also grieve if shit is really like, you know, if shit's going down. There's no shame in just like tucking away for a few days and processing what happened, like
100%. Like, or else even, you'll like, process it the wrong way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, cry if you have to, do all that shit. Like,
100%.
Like, in your tears, there are enzymes that are natural painkillers. So the idea that you shouldn't be crying when it's
how do you
like
know a, this?
I just know this, bro. I was grieving because I was grieving and I was wondering. I was like, why do I feel better after I cry? And then I looked it up. And apparently there's three types of tears. There's ones that just happen like with the wind, like there's other types of tears that happen when you like cut onions and shit.
Yeah.
And then there's
yeah.
a third type of tear. It's called an emotional tear. And if you're crying because of an emotional trauma, those tears are actually more viscous, like they're thicker. And the reason they're thicker is because they hold an enzyme that actually acts as a natural painkiller. So the whole idea that, oh, you're not supposed to cry, men are not supposed to cry, it's stupid because we were designed. This is a bodily function. It was obviously this for a reason.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's 100%. A societal thing that we shouldn't.
Yeah. No, the reason I ask you, why do you know this the way I ask you this, is because, dude, like a few years ago, I looked up the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And the reason I looked it up was because I was like, all right, what's the point and purpose of crying? Like, I get it. Maybe like our ancestors, when you see someone crying, you know they're in trouble and in danger. But like, why do people cry tears of joy? Like, what would the evolutionary purpose of tears of joy be?
Yeah, I mean, and like the it's either lubricating like your eyes or actually like to help soothe you.
Yeah, if there's somewhere or another, you're just like essentially, like you said, oozing some sort of enzyme or something. Did you know it has healing properties too?
Yeah, you know, it's a natural painkiller.
And not an antiseptic, but it can like heal wounds faster. At least that's what I read X amount of years ago. Maybe I'm incorrect. But
a tear?
Yeah.
Whoa. Like, that's so, like, crazy.
Say you got a cut, I don't know. It's a hard experiment.
Oh, dude, I got a fat cut on my hand right now.
Yo, bro, next time you feel those tears welling up, drip them right on there.
Put them in a little turkey baster.
Yeah. What's it? Every hour on the hour, give it a basting. And yo, what if though?
Dude, that's a, you know, could I be. Feel like Big Pharma wouldn't even want us to know. They'd be like, oh, we can't tell them. They gotta keep buying our painkillers.
Yeah, absolutely. That's hilarious, man. Anyways, bro, the goal of No Label, No Budget is, or what I found from it, is to show underground hip-hop artists that in the modern day, you don't really need thousands in equipment or people on the payroll to do what you do, right?
Oh, dude, yeah. Even if you go on my TikTok, like, there's videos where I've replied to people. I've, like, made this video breaking down how you can make a studio in your house for less than, like, $500.
Yeah.
And make high-quality music from it. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but there's, you know, Ocean Eyes by Billie Eilish?
Yeah.
Like, that song was recorded on an Audio-Technica AT2020, which is, like, $100. Yeah. It's a $100 mic.
Yeah, I have one.
Oh, you got one. There you go. Okay.
Not the one I'm using right now, but it's I can see it from here.
Yeah. So, you know, it's if you learn how to really properly use your equipment and you learn how to treat your room, which you can do just through, like, furniture and carpets and, like, some foam, whatever, bass traps. Yeah. But, the whole point of this series is to show people that it's possible to be self-sufficient and resourceful and still see results.
Dope.
Because I hate seeing people throw, like, thousands down the drain and not really be, like, skilled enough to know how to make the equipment that they just spent so much on sound good anyways. So, like, if you can get a setup for, like, under $1,000, get $500, then, you know, like, you can make shit sound good with that.
So this entire series that you painstakingly create over the course of a week at track is inspired by your hatred for people over what would the word be? Just buying useless shit, doing useless things.
I wouldn't say hatred. Especially not.
I'm just kidding. I'm playing. Yeah.
Especially not for those people. If I did have, like, a distaste for anything, it would be more so like the consumer culture that constantly, like, convinces people that in order, especially in music, in order to be successful, you need to spend all this money. Which is just not the case. It's not.
No, not even. Yeah.
You know, I just don't like the idea, like the external pressure that is constantly driving people to spend more and more money. And, you know, it's just like, it's kind of it's a money grab.
Absolutely. And I think this is kind of like a dual occurrence of what you're doing is because at the same time, you're obviously honing your skills, but you're doing it so consistently and so, like you said, it takes up so much of your time, right? Like you're fully scheduled today, and I'm guessing most of it is related to your stuff that you're working on musically,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, it's literally all I do is I wake up, I make music, I go to the gym and, like, go for a walk, do some exercise, and then at night I'll maybe phone, like, my girlfriend and we'll watch, like, South Park or something, and then I'll read.
Nice. Okay. Do you feel balanced in all this?
I feel balanced. I feel more so fulfilled. Like, even if there's a day where I feel a little bit unbalanced, I can at least feel happy in the fact that I'm doing a lot and it fulfills me.
For sure. And if you weren't doing No Label, No Budget right now, what would you be doing otherwise?
Albums. I'll be making albums.
Yeah. Plural.
Which I am. I'm working on an album right now, but that's more so whenever I happen to have, like, a sliver of time.
For sure.
But the album that I'm working on right now, it requires a lot of, like, mental capacity to actually, like, do it. And I need to be in a completely different mindset from what I'm doing with No Label, No Budget. So it's something that I just got on the back burner.
That's so fun. Dude, this is crazy. My next question I was going to ask you is what differences do you experience between creating tracks like the one in No Label, No Budget and Isaac Zale classics like Eyelids and ICU and I guess this upcoming album that you're working on?
Yeah. Well, for me, when it comes to albums, I really like concept albums, mainly because I really like books. And I like that they are, you know, conceptual and, like, the whole thing is, like, thematic because it's a book. It's, like, one piece of art.
I hear
you.
So
these No Label, No Budget songs are not necessarily conceptual in any way. It's just a bunch of songs that I make and I package them into little EPs. But there's not, like, the only overriding theme with this is the desire to convince other artists to be self-sufficient and to get out of their own way. Yeah. But that's not like a metaphysical or the concept or anything. So
I would call, like, this being a certain time in your life, maybe that could be one of the themes.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no overriding artistic message coming from the
nothing
the
intentional.
Project.
Yeah,
yeah. Like with Father of the Zodiac, like I had a very specific concept that I wanted to get out with that album.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But with no label, no budget, like they're just a bunch of songs that I made to convince other artists to be more self-sufficient and to take more into their own hands. And then I package those into an EP.
Okay. Damn, man. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time we spoke, we chatted about artists on the come up and focusing on, I guess I worded it as too many different things, but it does seem to be kind of like the basis of what up and coming artists does need to focus on. But in terms of like reaching fans and getting streams, where would you suggest people spend the most time?
When it comes to reaching fans, I would say
and getting streams,
consistency
yeah.
in and of itself is a marketing strategy. So if you were to drop like a song every 2 weeks, first of all, the algorithms on Spotify, if it truly is a good song, will put that into like the radio algorithmic playlists and stuff like that just to test it out. Mm-hmm. And if it's not a good song, then they're not really going to keep adding it into the radio. And then you'll know that people didn't really like it that much. So you change, you adapt, and then you drop something else. But every 2 weeks, at least, drop something. That's what I did to really like find my target audience.
Yeah.
And another really great thing, obviously it's new, but TikTok, like I just got onto TikTok last year.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm hearing that it might get banned shortly.
Yeah, but we're Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah. We're not that controversial. Okay. I hear you.
I think in the States they want to ban it, but
they want to.
I don't know, man. Like the idea of banning TikTok just because they're like harvesting data as if the other companies aren't harvesting data is kind of fucking dumb.
It is. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's rules for me, but not for thee.
I think it's just because it's like, it's not an American company. So they're more worried about the data that's getting harvested.
Yeah.
But like, bro, come on, man.
So it's just consistency overall. Does that mean like create a project and then on to the next one or kind of, I guess, you're more or less multitasking doing no label, no budget and creating an album, right?
Oh, dude, if I was like just starting out, I wouldn't even do albums. I would just do a single every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and then
just
in between singles, make a ton of TikToks, like 3 a day to really push it. But be creative with it. Don't just like, oh, here's my new song. Like, what do you guys think? Like, that's not going to do well.
But
like, do you know Connor Price? Do you know that guy?
I do. I was going to reference it. Yeah.
Like that guy, I think is like a genius when it comes to marketing his songs.
Yeah.
Also, Baby No Money is like extremely great because he's hilarious. Like he's a funny guy.
Yeah, yeah. They just released a track together, I think, and all their TikTok content revolves around marketing it. Yeah,
exactly. And like the thing that they do when they are promoting songs is it's not just like, oh, hey, here's my song. What do you think? It's like they create an entire kind of like comedic piece to go with it.
Yeah, an entire skit. You know,
yeah, and comedy is like a universal language. Like everybody loves that shit, unless you're like, I don't know, a psychopath.
And plus, like, if you like the track or you like the skit, you build association to both.
Yeah.
If you like one or the other, right? So it's, and that's why they pump out so many of the same, so many pieces of content off the same track, which I think all artists should do as well.
Yeah. And like, another thing is, if you're not even really that into the song, sometimes the skits are so well done and the videos are so well edited that you still watch the TikTok all the way through because the video is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not me saying the songs aren't fire. I think all the songs are fire, but you know what I mean?
For sure. What's stopping you from taking that avenue and posting up a bunch of TikTok skits?
I will. The thing with my TikTok is I kind of made it more so to help artists and be
the
like educational.
Avenue,
DIY thing. But I might just start another page and do kind of like more jokey stuff. And
that'd be dope because you're out there with your camera anyways, right? Doing your videos. So why not cut those into several things and do outtakes or something?
Yeah, the thing with my TikTok is I built like the brand recognition around being that guy who kind of helps other artists, which is great because that's always something I wanted to do. So I would never like abandon this page, but I might just make like a second page and do more stuff where I actually promote my music because I don't really promote my music on TikTok.
No, yeah, I see that. So let's talk AI real quick because honestly, I was introduced to it late last year and I'm amazed at the abilities and tools that we have in our hands, but like even personally, my production time for these podcasts, it's been cut in less than half, which is...
Oh, you use AI for it?
Yeah, dude. There's a Adobe Enhance tool. I don't have to mix, master, noise gate, or even like EQ it anymore.
How do you do that?
I'll show you when we're out of here.
Whoa, that's sick. Okay.
Yeah, dude, it's legendary. I don't know how well it would go for music and like song vocals.
Oh,
but
no,
for...
I was thinking more for, because I edited a bunch of videos too, like aligning audio and shit, and I hate aligning audio.
Yeah, dude, I'll show you what it is. It's free too. It's insane.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it's cut my production time in less than half. And it used to be like 4 minutes per 1 minute of recording. And so like, it's a legendary save. But what do you think? Because I've seen you use it in your videos.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know you're aware of like how powerful it is. So
I think AI is great. I think obviously there's like a potential that it could start ripping jobs from people. But, you know, whenever that happens, then there's going to be other jobs to like, you know,
100%.
But at the same time, like I'm not entirely worried, because I don't think we've seen like the AI that we're talking about when it comes to like video and audio and stuff like that. I think it's cool, and I think it helps a lot of independent artists.
Absolutely, yeah. It brings everyone up a level.
Yeah, but I can understand how it could be a cause for concern for like, say, people, you know, who drive trucks for a living or something like that. And then if they start getting those trucks that just drive themselves, then you're going to see a lot of people out of work. And obviously that opens up the door for more issues. But AI as a whole, I'm still not entirely certain if it's like a net negative or a net positive.
Yeah. As for like what you've seen and used, do you like have an appreciation for it? You think
it's just like a
cool different tool to use? Or
absolutely. I appreciate it 100%. I think it's really cool. I just hope that it doesn't metastasize into something that's actually harmful, which I don't see it doing
right now,
but there's always a possibility.
Well, the way that you said earlier in the beginning is that you see each piece in process as like as important as the other. What if like AI could take over almost all of it, except for the writing part and the obviously vocalizing part?
Then it wouldn't be my art anymore.
Okay. What would it be though?
It would just be my writing, and everything else would be a robot.
Okay, I hear you. But what about, let's say, because I know you make your own beats and stuff too.
Yeah.
What about people who like use other people's beats and then just rap?
Yeah, that's still like writing in and of itself is an art form. But for me, I consider the entire process, like the entire song, as my art. So like, if I was to have the beat made by AI, the mixing and mastering done by AI, just the writing and recording from me, then there's still my art laced in there, but it's about 30% my art instead of like 100% my art.
Okay, I hear you. And I guess in terms of other people rapping over other people's beats or writing and then rapping, it's the beat choice is still part of the art form, and it has to be something that agrees with
you too,
right?
I think the intention is there. So if you intend to make a freestyle or a cover, that's still your artistic choice to do that. But if I'm doing it out of like cutting corners, I'm like, I don't want to produce because I'm lazy. I don't want to do this. Then it moves away from being an artistic choice, and it starts becoming a choice of necessity or a choice of laziness. And at that point, like what you want to consider art or not, that's a deeper philosophical conversation that I'm not equipped to have.
Absolutely. I hear that.
Yeah. But for me personally, like I would not consider that an artwork of mine, because I'm only 30% of the artist in this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear that. Yeah. Personally, I used to see, I guess, the beat as like, if it were putting in frames of like a painter with a paintbrush, like the beat used to be like the canvas in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rapper kind of like the artist, the paintbrush who puts.
Yeah. Well, it depends. It depends if you're a rapper or if you're a producer. Because if you're
Absolutely.
A producer, then
if you can build the canvas.
Yeah, because if you're a producer, then the beat is no longer the canvas only. It's you know, it might be the paint.
Oh, it becomes like a I hear you.
Yeah, it might be like the painted sunset, the beach, and then you start rapping, and then that would be like the human figures getting drawn in.
That is definitely a thought too big for words.
Yeah, if I was gonna make like an analogy and make something the canvas, I would say that the DAW would be the canvas, like the digital audio workstation.
For sure. Okay. The canvas, and we operate within the confines of the canvas, which is pretty expansive these days as it is.
Exactly. Because think about it. If the beat is nothing more than the canvas, then if you rapped into your DAW with no beat, that's not going to, what are you going to do with that? It's just it's just poetry at that point, which is great, but it's not really the it's not really what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. I hear you. Anyways, bro, we are stepping in overtime here. Is there anything that you want to say on the sign off? I appreciate all this time you've given me.
No, man. Well, thanks for having me. It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Likewise.
Yeah, man.
Dope. Okay. That's it then. I appreciate you. Thank you so much, Isaac Zale.
Bro, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Until next time. Take care.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this final episode of the Re-Evolve Media Revolution podcast. These interviews with Junk and Isaac Zale, plus the 67 episodes before it, will be a reminder to me of where I would like to be mentally and professionally. And until that happens, here is a small surprise. To end the series, a sample of a new track by yours truly, Jordan Lewis, featuring Isaac Zale. It is titled Blueprints and Blindfolds, and it is now available on all streaming platforms. Thank you to everyone who has been with us on this journey. The content is still going to be out there, so we hope you'll revisit it from time and time again. But yeah, thank you. I hope you enjoy this new track, the sample of it. And yeah, enjoy and take care. How do I lose myself upon my dream? Thinking of you when I'm trying to think of me. How do I choose myself and not lose sleep? When I'm still in love and you fell in love, was it deep? When I'm still in love and you fell in love, was it cheap? Cause I'm still in love and you fell in love with me. Just deep enough for it to still hurt. I came out the mud, I did it for glitter and love. I flinch when I think of your touch, I'm all the above. I hate when they pay me in blood, I bleed on the bezel, it blushed. I carry my tongue, can nobody tell me I'm wrong? It's probably why I'm alone. I bury my bone, my heart on my sleeve, the dog in my jeans, and never gonna find a way home. Don't look at me perpendicular, sideways, chalk on the sidewalk, brains on the driveway, scrape for the Lysol. All I'll be a primate, Frank Sinatra, when I pull up, do it my way. When it fades, it all goes. Crimson skies and my lungs are smoke. Remember vivid when I lost my hope. All I think's about the rope. All I think's about. All I think about is hope.